Blog Talk Radio.
I make it high, yeah. Hopped out the whip with my wrist on. Hit so clean, take a flip like. Everybody say cheese, I ain't hear you say please. When my team hit the scene, everybody straight. Is it because of the fact that we make cheese? And my shorties resembling AKs? When Harley believes she's 18. But everything ain't always what it seems. In VIP, we be letting the mo pop. Youngest on the dance floor doing it so wop. Let me see you get your life keep going. Getting kinda hot, now my wife be the showing. Never stop, cause the night keeps going. Going. Hey, baby girl, what's going on? Lowrider's on and it's showing her thong. Do the dance if you know this song.
Ladies, something like a laugh.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, Hear No Evil. I'm your host, Darlene Lewis. How are you doing today?
Darlene, how are you?
I am fine and dandy. Who, may I ask, am I speaking with?
This is your old friend, Spider D. What's going on?
Oh, my God, Spider D, the legend. Oh, my goodness. How are you today? Thank you for calling in to Hear No Evil. Yeah, these are some sad times. I was thinking about you earlier when a few of my colleagues had called me about our dear friend, Mr. Magic's passing. I know that must be a terrible time right now in hip-hop, and especially, you know, with everything going on, to lose another icon. And you have my condolences because I know you have a history with Mr. Magic.
Yeah, you know, I'm not ashamed to admit I cried like a baby.
Yeah.
When I found out, Magic and I go back like, you know, 30 years now. When I first tried to get into the business, I was taking my demo tapes down to him. This was before he had hit the big time. And, you know, he was like, yeah, it's all right, you know. But, you know, come back and see me when it's a little better. And, you know, that was encouraging to me because some people, he was like, yo, it's whack. Get out of here. So, you know, he never treated me like that. He always encouraged me. And, you know, when I finally co-produced Smurfy's Dance with Vaughn Mason and I brought it to Magic, he was like, now this is what I'm talking about. And by then, he was on BLS. And, you know, obviously, you know, he did a lot for Houdini and the Force MD.
Yes, he did.
And, you know, a number of other groups that, you know, if he didn't discover them, he helped their career in one way or the other. And, you know, he and I, you know, we were born on March 15th, so we shared a birthday.
Oh, baby, so fine. Oh, my God.
Yeah, you know. Oh, yeah, me and Juice had history, and then of course I produced his one and only attempt to do a rap record, and I say attempt because, you know, I joked with him about it took us a few sessions to get his vocals down, and, you know, he said while we were making that record that he had a new respect for rap recording artists because it wasn't as easy as it looked. And so, you know, we was kind of tight. So, I mean, I talked to Shantae earlier today. And she was at the wake. And
Roxanne,
she really tore up about it. I spoke to Molly Molly Mall yesterday while he was in the wake. And, you know, this is, you know, obviously the Juice Crew, that's, you know, that's Magic's, you know, that assemblage of talent that he helped put together along with DJ Molly Mall is like historic. So, I mean, you know, Magic's impact, and it's a shame that, you know, he has to pass for people to realize his impact on hip hop. But I'm at least glad to see that he's getting the recognition for being the pioneer that he was. So I just wanted to call in to your show and just share that with you and your audience. You know, Juice was sort of arrogant. He didn't always rub people the right way, but he had a heart of gold. And like I said, he helped a lot of people. And he helped hip hop be what it is today. So, you know, everybody should pay homage to this man.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because I was on Facebook with Easy Mo B, and he was talking about, you know, the influence of Magic and how it takes a funeral for people in the hip hop genre or the entertainment industry to come together as one. It always takes a tragedy, and, you know, it really, really is sad, but sometimes people have to leave the earth for all of us to look and say and stop where we're at and say, what are we doing, where are we going, and sometimes you just got to remember that you never know when you're going to see that special person. You should always have something good, you know, to say about someone. And I like I said before, my condolences to his family, to all of those that worked with him, and, you know.
That's a very good point that you make, because, you know, I didn't realize this was going to hit me like it did. And so when it did, I said, let me turn this tragedy into something positive. So everybody that I have connections with in the music business, people that I've come up with, either in recording studio or touring with, or whatever connection that I have, like Molly Mall, for example, yesterday, you know, I told Molly, I said, yo, I love you. And I wanted him to understand that and know that. You know, I know a lot of men are afraid to say that, but you know what? When you love somebody, you should let them know, because neither one of these days are promised to us. And, you know, you when you leave this earth, at least if somebody knows how you felt, they can have that to hold on to. It's like, okay, that person told me they love me. Or, you know, even if it's them closing their eyes, they know that you love them because you told them. And, you know, that's something that in the black community, in the hip-hop community, I don't think there's enough of. And, you know, music is love, so we need to spread that love. You know, all this, you know, hate. And, you know, back in the days, rapping was about, you know, rapping better than somebody. Now everybody, you know, they, you know, this record, they want to shoot each other. That's stupid, you know.
Know where all of that came from. I mean, but you know what? The legends have outlived a lot of these new jacks that are out. So they, you know, hip hop is like in its apparent now. You know, it's apparent now. It this new age of, you know, it's just. Is it different, you know, and they don't have the same guidance and more and role models that we did. So it's about, you know, them
that
learning.
That means we need to reach back. That's what I'm trying to do now. I'm trying to reach back to some, like, I'm picking up younger artists. You know, I'm a very private person, but we live in a new media age. So I'm like, all right, let me get a Twitter page. Let me get a Facebook page. Let me get a MySpace page. But I try to utilize it to educate the artists that are coming up so that they could avoid some of the things that happened to myself or others in the business, to try to stay out of that trap of getting into shootouts over words. You know, that's silly stuff. You know, we're supposed to be evolved past that. We got a black president, for God's sake.
Exactly.
You know, if they can't understand that you can accomplish anything after watching this man ascend to the White House, then maybe there's no hope for us. I don't know. But, I mean, you know, I don't want to monopolize all your time, because I know you got other people calling in, but I wanted to say hello to you, and it was good reaching out to you on Twitter. And I'm going to be a frequent contributor to your shows and anything else that you want to do.
That means so much to me. Every time I think of Sparky D or, it just takes me back to a time when I was so eager to create music and go to a club and hear some good music. And those days need to come back. And you are a frequent flyer of Hear No Evil. So you can tune in anytime. Make sure you listen every week. We come on at 6:30 every Thursday. And we also have a television show. I got to get you on there when you get back to New York. Whenever
that will be an honor.
Let me know. You know, there's a lot of legends that live in Atlanta.
Yeah, it's like little New York down here now. It's like, you know, everybody's moving here or... You know, I was surprised at how many people. I was talking to Red Alert one day, and he was letting me know how many different DJs. Easy Lee is down here. So many, a lot of DJs are here for sure, and a lot of MCs. Just Ice is here now.
Jazzo is down there.
Oh, yeah. And
so,
it's like,
you know,
little
I have a cousin that's running for the 88th District Assembly down there, Simone Joy. So make sure you reach out to her. She's doing.
What area is that?
Hmm.
Yeah. What area is that? That's not College Park, right?
She's I believe she's in Stone Mountain, but she's always in Atlanta. She's doing wonderful things in Atlanta, and actually, she hires Red Alert when she does her parties. So
okay.
He does parties with her. Actually, it was her that got him on the radio station down there.
Oh, okay, well, you let her know, you know, give her my digits and let her know if she needs me to help get out the vote or whatever I need to do. Don't even hesitate.
Oh, I definitely will. I mean, she would love that. She's originally from the Bronx, actually the building from Cool Herc. So you may know our cousin, the Record Man. You know, everybody used to get records from him back in the day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's our cousin?
Yeah, that's our cousin.
Wow.
This is
wow.
All right. It's a small world, honey. It gets even smaller. But thank you once again, the one and only Spider D.
Thank you.
Thanks
I
for calling in, okay? And I'll talk to you soon.
All right. You be good.
You too.
All right.
Wow. That was the legendary Spider D. It is amazing how many people take the time out to call in, you know, just to let me know that they're thinking about me and that they love what I'm doing, and I really appreciate that. I was supposed to get a call from a young female, young teenage television producer by the name of Emerald Green. I'm waiting for that call to come in, and as soon as that comes in, I will... interrupt our music. But I just want you guys to listen to something by Jazzo, who was the artist that actually brought Jay-Z to the forefront. And I would like you to hear this song. It is called Be There. Check it out.
Back to the matter, abstract the matter, and the black matter, and the which matters, and now I'm about to free up, came back to Syria, swam up the River Jordan, parted the Red Sea, I did it at 33, thoroughly blessed me, cut truth can see, spit truth admitted, speak words to cut, gotta give them precision, but you're on the
air. You're on the air, welcome to Hear No Evil, who am I speaking with?
This is Emerald Green, the youth producer, the young youth producer you were talking about. This is her.
How are you, Miss Green? Now, Emerald Green is a young 16-year-old television producer who is quite impressive. She plans on becoming a doctor, so I'm really looking forward to speaking with her and bringing her to the forefront. Now, Emerald Green is the producer of the PSA banning the N-word. It's a PSA that she and fellow producers from Manhattan Neighborhood Network worked on while she was interning at the Youth Channel. Could you please tell me what sparked your deciding to ban the N-word?
Well, in my school, it's predominantly African-American and Hispanic, Latino. And they use that word constantly. And they use it as a term of endearment, which for me is not cool at all. Like, I would not appreciate anyone calling me the N-word. So I just thought that that would be a good idea for a PSA. And it's on the internet, and I walk around and there's people saying, oh, yeah, you were the one with the PSA. I'm like, yeah, don't use that word because it's not a good word. I mean, it was a term used to offend African Americans, so why are we using it now as a term to say hello? So I thought it was a good idea to make a PSA.
Wow. So, like, I noticed that you have a lot of historical data on your N-word PSA, and how did you go about researching that stock footage and stuff?
I researched the N-word. I looked at pictures of, like, African Americans in, like, history and how they portrayed African Americans. And I don't know, the idea just came to me because I was experiencing it at school. So I just said, you know what, maybe I should just put some awareness out there about the N-word and how it needs to be stopped being used because it's unnecessary. I mean, no one likes being offended, so why would you even use that word? So I thought it was a good idea.
Now, I also noticed that you produced a television program called Gotham. Could you please let the listening audience know about that?
Yes, yes. My mother actually decided wanted me to start working in the television area. And so I was like, oh, yeah, that's cool. So I decided to produce this television show called Gotham, Girls and Guys on the Move. And it's basically a television show for the youth. Youth ages 12, 13 to 18 or 21. And it just talks about youth issues, peer pressure, school, bullies, education, sex, fashion, health, everything that affected the youth. So music, all that stuff.
Yeah, but the one thing I loved mostly about your program was that you did book reviews. Like,
yeah.
Shows that our young Black children, Hispanic children are reading, and I see you have a massive array of reading. I mean, what made you decide to do book reviews?
Because I love to read. I think I've been reading since I was born.
Mm-hmm.
I love mystery. I love finding out different problems. I love reading. So, and I wanted to give other people that feeling I get when I read. And I have, like, a mini collection. Me and my brother have just books and books and books. And we go to the library all the time because, as they say, reading is fundamental. I mean, what else are you going to do if you're bored? Read. It's a great book. And I notice that a lot of kids don't read. They say it's boring or I don't want to do it. I have something better to do, which I don't even understand because reading, I mean, how else are you going to learn?
Wow. So, and you're how old?
I'm 16. I'll turn 17. Hey, November 2nd.
November 2nd is your birthday?
Yes.
All right. So now, my last question, I noticed that you produced a commercial for the Caribbean Cultural Center. Could you tell the
It was actually a PSA, sort of like a promo slash PSA of the Caribbean Cultural Center. It's called the Caribbean Cultural Center of African Diaspora Institute, which is an institute that studies and researches and tries and spreads the idea of how slavery was not only in Africa, it was in other continents as well, Australia, Asia, Europe, all the other continents. It's about the dispersing of African Americans during the slave trade. And so I decided, well, during when I worked in the MNN, with MNN, Manhattan Neighborhood Network, and the youth channel, they put me in that setting. So I decided to research history of African Americans and dispersing of them, and it was really interesting, and thought it went pretty well. It's on the internet. It's on their website, the CCADI, Caribbean Cultural Center of African Diaspora Institute.
Wow, so you are very, very busy. So basically, I guess you're about to graduate from high school, so you're
right now.
How is that coming along, researching colleges and stuff?
Yes, I was applying to colleges as we speak right now. So It's a very, very hectic process, but it's necessary. I mean, I do want to go to college, so it's hectic, but.
You plan on becoming a surgeon?
Actually, I don't know now, because I've been looking at other areas of not only medicine, but, like, other careers. So doctor is cool, but I don't know. Like, I'm interested in other stuff, too. But doctor has been, like, my number one choice.
Oh, that's your number one choice.
Yeah, it has been. So, but I don't know. I might change it. I don't know.
Well, I think that would be a good choice because you're never, ever, ever without a doctor. That's something, that's a field that, the health field never goes out of business. There's always work in the health field, and it's a good job because you're servicing people and you're helping people, and hopefully by the time you make a decision as to where you want to go in your life, there will be some cures for some diseases out here, because it just seems like there's so many young people dying off.
Right, yeah.
Violence or not taking care of themselves. I mean, I don't know. It seems like the older people are outliving the young people.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, I want to thank you for calling Hear No Evil, and make sure you tune in every week at 6:30.
I will. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much, Emerald Green, and I look forward to watching your show. And your website is www.mtv.com. Thank you very much, and I'll talk to you hopefully soon. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Let me tell you, the youth of today are amazing. The youth of today are so amazing, and I'm so proud of her. Let's go back to that Be There by Jazzo, who was the creator and the person that discovered Jay-Z. So let's listen to some of his music, and I'll be right back. Like it, check it out. Oh,
sick. The original deity, indivisible. Premature is criminal, all in the physical. Currently, currency bagging it with the urgency. And with the word game, still nice like courtesy. Spend a minute, time is money. Make it well worth the wait. Spend a minute, I mixed all the hoopla and melee. And the OG called to my nigga Kate Slate. I hereby solemnly swear to take it with me. Got some brave motherfuckers if you follow me there. First of all, A&R's obsolete. We got this cocksucker, let it pop in the street. Make a banger, that's a guarantee, hard as hell. Keep a buzz like a shop full of barber clippers. Sell my mind and my clothes like sharper scissors. And the car to turn heads while they call me whippers. And the cutie on Scooty got a cool sharp shooty. That'll make it totally impossible to hit us. Worst city, immortal DJ, Stevie Steve. I've been killing the drummer's beat since Marcy Center. That fighter can't brawl for Witcher. Or even waste time throwing darts at the car to pitcher. Violin about the size of the tooth. The code out until my wrist goes sick. You know what? In the Nico, full of my people. Make it big as hard liquor, this week's the sequel, man. The sum of it all, there will be no equal. Woo! Sit right here. Lil' mama, we in VIP, sit right here. Kings County got the bottles from the get right here. See the whole squad style on haters. Fresh cut, 7 man, well spoken with mile on paper. Six dizzy when they see these stars. Some of them coming in with a man, wanna leave with guards. Top guards in my face, caressing, stressing. Hurt when it's about the 3-on-1, but she wants some. Shorty is a winner. A few drinks in her when her hands ran up. Made a nigga stand up. Just the right touch, I could really give a fuck. Kings County, motherfucker. Top gun is dead. Stunning cross dead. Crab niggas, it ain't lonely at the top. If you set another plate for your homie at the top, make a bigger table for your stable, cause you're able, but you struggle with your shining while your kinfolk crying. Never mind, lame, trying to pass treachery, greed and lies off this clever mind game. It's in pain, what? Never mind, man, break bread and stay forever my aim. It's set, though, it's all that so. Marcy forever, king of the metro. Me, I said so, believe, yet though, fools wanna act brand new, flipping the retro. Yeah, trying to say backwards, make them acrobatic with the Marsburg action, or maybe a Gatlin. Well, home skill it really, I passed the full Philly, put a burn in your son, I'll make it scream in your cellar. Look, calm with a slug flame, clip a thug's wing to a feather bomb, make it rain a dumb, dumb song, smarten up. So the P1, so the veteran, knew they better run, button up. Round prostitution, mixtapes, LPs, mansion of seclusion, download to shipping worldwide distribution. 60-foot cruising, South Atlantic wild peaches at the bar, choosing. From the south to the lie, to the H in Atlanta, they call me the big J to the A. I'm whistling with the word, what you want me to say? Motherfucking county.
What I call music, music, music. Loving me some jazz always. Waiting for him to call in. I guess he got too busy. But on another note, Monique's Oscar, Hopes for Precious, Endangered by Attitude, insiders say. Now, according to Gatecrasher, Countess Ghetto Monique may have a shot at an Oscar for Precious, but she's angered executives at Lionsgate and the movie's financial backers, Oprah Winfrey and Tyler Perry, with her latitude for attitude, insiders say. Sarah Jeff Weiss Glee actress Diane Agron didn't think much of the Family Guy creator Seth MacFarlane's pickup attempt at a party for Whippet. Sussman Getty former vice presidential candidate John Edwards didn't let reports of a divorce filing stop him from enjoying a U2 concert Saturday. But back to Monique. Breakout star Monique isn't considered that precious by executives at Lionsgate, which produced her forthcoming film. In fact, as reported by Showbiz411.com, the 41-year-old comedian's bad attitude and shameless demands for money may jeopardize her chance for Oscar glory. All this before the highly anticipated movie opens up on November 6th. The star was MIA Saturday night at the New York Film Festival premiere of the buzzworthy flick Precious. She also allegedly ditched her promotional duties during the Toronto Film Festival when she was denied a $100,000 appearance fee. That money didn't even include hair and makeup costs. She also demanded that her glam squad fly first class, sniped an incredulous industry source. Apparently, she's ignorant as to how a Hollywood system works. Now, according to our snitch, exasperated studio chiefs suggested that executive producer Oprah Winfrey get involved to deflate Monique's substantial ego, but even O couldn't stop the actress from seeing green. Monique said she signed on to do this film for a small amount of money. She said she didn't care about no Oscar. All that mattered was those Benjamins. Because Oprah and Tyler Perry are backing the film, she feels as though there should be a budget to pay for her promotional duties, the source explains. But the star's attitude is starting to work against her. Winfrey and Tyler have reportedly instructed Lionsgate to put their promotional machine behind fellow stars Mariah Carey and Gary Sidibe for the Oscar race. Those two are adept at playing the game. Both turned up in New York and Toronto to push the film for free, although Carey left was 30 minutes late to Saturday's Alice Tully Hall premiere and entered to boos from the audience to respond to her tardiness. When people say you care more about money than winning an Oscar, well, what does an Oscar mean? An Oscar means more work when you win it, and that means more money, retorts Monique in response to the allegations. I couldn't eat that Oscar. Everybody needs money, baby. That's how we survive, right? Reps for Winfrey, Tyler, and Lionsgate declined to comment, but the film's director, Lee Daniels, was quick to say, Monique is a diva. She puts her soul into whatever she does. I love her very much. He does add, however, that doing the press is hard for her because she's in the moment. Well, you can read more about this in the Daily News. Now, on another note, Chris Rock's New York, as his documentary Good Hair is set to open a tour of his hometown. Now, Jacob Osterhout, who's a Daily News writer, spoke about Chris Rock, and this is something that he says. Hands out, Chris Rock, right in a scene from Good Hair, has documentary opening Friday, which explores issues of self-image for African-American women. Now, some of Chris Rock's first memories are from a barbershop in Brooklyn. I grew up in Bed-Stuy and always went to one barbershop on Howard Avenue and Chauncey Street, says the comedian. There were the pre-Dinkins days when crime was rampant. I remember guys actually sitting in a barber chair and getting their hair done with a coat on because they knew that if they hung up the coat, someone would run out of the barbershop with it. If Chris Rock is anything, he's a purebred New Yorker. His hometown courses through his stand-up. It co-stars in his TV series, Everybody Hates Chris, based on his childhood in Brooklyn. And now it plays a role in his documentary, Good Hair. In theaters Friday, in the film, Rock explores issues of self-image for African-American women by turning the camera on barbershops across the world, and in particular in Harlem. Just from growing up in Brooklyn and seeing my mother and aunt get their hair done, I knew a little bit about black women's hair, Rock says. But I didn't know that black hair was the multi-billion-dollar industry. You would never know that just from sitting in a hair salon in Harlem or Bed-Stuy. The 44-year-old comic has come a long way from his days in Brooklyn. He has two daughters, a multi-million-dollar career, three Emmy Awards, courtside seats for the Knicks. He throws out pitches for the Yankees. He's hosted the Oscars, but just because he's all grown up, it doesn't mean he's outgrown his hometown, not by a long shot. Now, this is the Chris Rock that I know. The Chris Rock that I know, his Brooklyn. The comedian does national court recollections of his former neighborhood. There were no real restaurants around back then, he says. The McDonald's that was close by actually went out of business. You know you live in a poor neighborhood when your McDonald's is abandoned. Here's some advice. If you are ever walking down the street and you see an abandoned McDonald's or KFC, just run. Rock has seen his old neighborhood change a lot since he was a kid, for better and for worse. There are white people everywhere, he laughs, before lamenting the proliferation of CVS stores and Starbucks. He fears it's making Bed-Stuy just like every other neighborhood. He also can't get over the price of houses in a community that was once crime-ridden. It's weird to think that this was once a ghetto, he says. The streets might have been crazy, but the houses were brownstones, and rich people love brownstones. Rock now lives across the George Washington Bridge in Alpine, New Jersey, but he often comes back to Brooklyn, where he still owns a house, to help his wife work at a Salvation Army in Bushwick. but as the years have passed, he barely knows anybody in his old neighborhood anymore. That's just another sign of gentrification that has gone on in New York. I mean, first of all, anybody that knows anything about New York or Harlem, they know that Europeans have been moving back into our neighborhoods and taking over the neighborhoods, opening up stores. I remember at one time I used to walk down the street in Harlem, Sugar Hill area, and you would see like a gang of people from Jamaica or Dominican Republic or, you know, African Americans from the South. But never 2, 3 in the morning did you see a whole bunch of Europeans or whites, you know, walking around the city in shorts late at night by themselves. But now you see them in droves. You see them in the supermarkets. I mean, it's amazing. It's really amazing. I have some hip-hop blues to talk about. The Staten Island rapper that we all know and love from the Wu-Tang Clan, Clifford Smith. His real name is known to you as the Method Man. Well, the Staten Island rapper, actor, and producer was tagged with another label Monday, Tax Cheat. The 38-year-old Grammy-winning artist, a founding member of the hip-hop group Wu-Tang Clan, was arrested for stifling the tax man out of $32,799. Method Man, whose real name is Clifford Smith, is accused of failing to pay New York State income taxes between the years 2004 and 2007. He faces up to 4 years in prison if convicted. Taxes are a burden that all citizens share in a civil society, whether you are an average Joe on the street or a high-profile rap artist, Staten Island District Attorney Daniel Donovan said. Method Man shared a Grammy with Mary J. Blige for their 1995 song, I'll Be There For You, You're All I Need to Get By, and had a recurring role on HBO's The Wire, playing drug crew chief Melvin Cheese Wagstaff. He was released without bail and is due back in court December 9th. I just cannot believe the amount of rappers that are being targeted. The city is so broke that they are going after recording artists. I don't believe Method Man has had a record out in years. I can't even understand Method Man having tax problems, because I know that he is a great citizen. I mean, he does shows with Redman. I mean, he's making money. He does have bills like everybody else, but it's horrible. On another note, I have some disturbing news that came out of Chicago. I got some information from the finalcall.com website in Chicago regarding the slain youngster, Darian Albert. The body of 16-year-old high school honor student Darian Albert was laid to rest on October 3rd following a somber funeral at Greater Mount Hebron Baptist Church on Chicago's South Side. Now, many of Darian's friends and classmates joined the procession, passed his casket with tears in their eyes as they looked into his face one last time. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, speaking at the funeral, told the mourners that God is the giver of life and he is the ultimate cause of death. While it is natural to question why God would take this young man, his death allows us to see the horror of the senseless violence in the streets of Chicago, he said. His death is a call to action, said Minister Farrakhan. This was a special young man of righteous bearing, whom God took from us so young. But may I remind you, dear beloved followers of Jesus the Christ, he too was a young man. He too was a victim of mob violence. He too was special. And because he was not a wicked person, his righteous life became the redemptive power for all of humanity, said Minister Farrakhan. Minister Farrakhan said, while some may consider black youth unsalvageable, and though they may appear to be lost in the eyes of some, all unredeemable, no matter how horrible they are acting at the present time. Whenever you get to thinking that our children are unsalvageable, then death and destruction is called upon that which you believe can never be redeemed, said Minister Farrakhan. How can you say that Jesus saves? Is he powerless to save our children? How can you say that he is a redeemer and then look at the condition of our people and then think that it is hopeless? Minister Farrakhan encouraged the clergy, school administrators, and others to go after the lost sheep that appeared to be irretrievable. I ask in the name of Darion, who among us will go after that which is lost and bring it back to us? I believe all of our people can be saved, said Minister Farrakhan. But there are still questions still unanswered. Many questions remain unanswered as many details emerge, providing insight into the circumstances that led to the melee of September 24th, which resulted in Darion's death and serious injuries to four others. What questions asked by students and parents could it have been prevented? Now, several students who asked not to be identified said that the day Darion was beaten to death, words circulated around the high school's hallways that a huge fight was going to take place after school. In fact, early that morning, there had been gunshots fired outside the high school. Then around lunchtime, students said another fight broke out between two boys from rival neighborhoods that was related to the earlier shooting. Students say the shooting and the midday skirmish led to the subsequent brawl that claimed Darion's life. And police and school officials should have done more to prevent it. Everyone knew something was about to go down, claims a 16-year-old who was one of Darion's classmates. No disrespect to the police, but they were not on the job. And the security guard saw what was about to go down and turned the other way and went back to the school. Parents and students in the area surrounding Finger High School said there exists a long-standing feud almost two decades old between those who live directly in the high school's neighborhood called The Ville in Roseland and students who attend the school from the Old Geld Gardens housing projects. Andrea Dominique, 16, said violence is nothing new at Finger. This has been going on over a long period of time at Finger, two different neighborhoods getting into it. But I guess they thought it would never get to the point where someone got killed. Everybody knows there's a lot of violence at Finger, and they fight all the time, said Miss Dominic, who lived a few doors down from Darion. Went to grade school with him and would often see him on the way home. Miss Dominic said Darion was always a smart boy, the type of person who always smiled and was always there for her when she needed someone to talk to. Chief Tina M. Scahill of the Chicago Alternative Policing Strategies, stands for CAPS, often said police are working to partner with different neighborhood anti-violence organizations as well as school administrators to minimize existing conflicts in these neighborhoods and high schools. At final call press time, four teenagers, 19-year-old Sylvona Shannon, 18-year-old Eugene Riley, 17-year-old Eugene Bailey, and 16-year-old Eric Carson have all been charged with first-degree murder and are in jail. Police are still asking for anyone with additional information regarding those involved in the beating death to come forward. Responding to accusations that the police were slow to the scene of the melee and reports that the initial responders did not immediately intervene, embedded Chicago Police Superintendent Jody B. White said the first 911 call arrived at 2:53 p.m., a car was dispatched at 2:55 p.m. and arrived at the scene 1 minute later at 2:56 p.m. At Darion Albert's funeral, Superintendent White told the final call that they are doing everything they can, working diligently, redeploying officers and reorganizing patrols when needed in the area around Finger High School and in many other areas of the city. Eyewitnesses and law enforcement officials said up to 50 people could have been involved in the clash. Speaking to the press on September 28, Chicago Police spokesman Dane Stark said many high schools around the city of Chicago, including Finger, have neighborhood rivalries that lead to these types of conflicts. Since the fight was spread over a 4 or 5 block radius, there were several different violent flashpoints, and details are still being sorted out, and tensions remain high, he said. A vigil that was to be held on September 26th, just 2 days after Darion's death, was canceled because of fear of retaliation, and a makeshift memorial placed at the location of his death, consisting of cards, posters, stuffed animals, and flowers, was set on fire the night after it was erected. Nationwide attention. Hip-hop artist Nas wrote an open letter to the young warriors in Chicago, decrying the death of Darion. Bow Wow posted a 2-minute YouTube video titled Stop the Violence and Increase the Peace. After watching the video of Darion Alba being killed, in a heartfelt blog entry, actress Reagan Gomez-Preston wrote, "Our kids are peed off and frustrated. Mama is working 2 and 3 jobs, struggling to keep it together, and kids are left on their own. This isn't a new problem. We know this." She goes on to ask, "Do we know who started the fight? Does it matter? I know what I saw on the tape. When you're in that rage, it's all emotional. You just want to fight the closest thing to you. And most of the time, it's someone who looks just like you. And guess what? They're going through the same thing you're going through." Since Darion's death, there has been an increased police presence in the area of the high school. However, students said even with stepped-up police patrols, they don't feel safe. Many believe it is only a matter of time before another chaotic and perhaps deadly brawl takes place. The police sitting there car with their sirens going off, telling everybody to get away from the school, but it seems like once it gets off of school grounds, they don't really care about what happens, said a 17-year-old Finger High School student named Bonnie Fitz. On September 30th, approximately 200 people, concerned parents, met at Sheldon Heights Church of Christ, which is located less than a mile away from Finger. Parents heard from Principal Elizabeth Dozier, 34th Ward Alderman Carrie Austin, Chicago Public Schools CEO Ron Huberman, Mike Shields, Director of Safety and Security for Chicago Public Schools, and Chief Scahill. Darion's aunt, Rose Braxton, spoke briefly to the media along with Amina Matthews of Cease Fire, a conflict mediation and preventive group. Reverend Jesse Jackson of Rainbow Push was also present to lend support to the family. Ms. Dozier, who has been the principal at Finger for just 1 month, said there are many kinds of facets to the solution, and we all play a really integral part. Ms. Dozier says she will be working very closely with the parents and staff at Finger, along with officials from the Chicago Police Department and Chicago Public Schools, to maintain a safe environment for the students. Cook County Circuit Court Clerk Dorothy Brown said stopping the crime and violence in Chicago should be the main focus of the police department, and proactive ways to maintain a safe learning environment for youth must be stepped up by the Chicago Public Schools. "It is my hope that the same fervor that we sought to get the 2016 Olympics be put towards saving our youth, because our youth are our future, and we must do everything we can to stop this violence," said Ms. Brown. "We are losing valuable young men and women like Darion Albert, an honor roll student, a very sensitive young man. It is a travesty that he had to lose his life in this way." According to Mr. Huberman, who presides over the third largest school system in the country, more can be done in all areas to prevent these types of tragedies, and officials are working hard to find the right answer. One such program is the Safe Passage Program, launched at 38 of Chicago's high schools that represent approximately 80% of all incidents of violence involving students. In this plan, the Chicago Police Department, the CTA, and principals of the high schools will analyze gang territories, school boundaries, and police district boundaries to determine routes that students will be able to use that will be adequately resourced in order to be considered safe for passage. Additionally, Mr. Huberman said using portions of $30 million in stimulus money, CPS will be providing 9 school buses to transport students to Finger High School safely. "This funeral becomes another symbol of the breakdown of society. We have failed. We all share in this failure and in this death. This is blood crying out from the ground like Abel. If we do not respond to this, then the blood of every child lost is going to be on our hands, said Father Michael Fledger of the Faith Community of St. Sabina. Darian's mother and Jeanette Albert, speaking through tears, thanked everyone for their outpouring of love for her falling son. It was beautiful. It was wonderful, said Miss Albert. You just don't know how many people care about you. Miss Albert says now, almost 2 weeks later, she still can't find adequate words to describe how she felt when she heard that her son was dead. I still don't know how I feel. It still hasn't really sunk in yet that he is gone, Miss Albert told the final call. I mean, I have twins that are 16 years old, and I mean, being a law enforcement person myself, I don't know how I could handle this. I mean, I personally feel that if something like this was to ever happen to me, I would be devastated. I would be extremely devastated. I don't even want to think that something like this could actually happen to somebody that I know. But I do know that violence exists, and it continually exists. And like one of the kids said, the parents are working. The children seem to be raising themselves. We just have to spend more time with our kids and take advantage of the fact that tomorrow's not promised to anyone. And so we have to do all that we can to make sure that a tragedy does not go unpunished. I send my heart out to all of those that are in mourning for this young man. This is truly some sad times. I want to play again some music by Jazzo. Again, I really love this song. Hope you enjoy it. Listen to Be There by Jazzo. I'll be right with you.
Back to the matter, abstract the matter, and the black matter, and the which matters, and now I'm about to free up, came back to Syria, swim up the river Jordan, parted the Red Sea, I did it at 33, thoroughly blessed me, cut truth to see, spit truth admitted, speak words to cut, got angular precision, but Jones is the decision of the diamond you can be, now the Rangers call me Merlin, mixed music elixirs, swirl a couple of vinyls, got the MPC early, then coded like a Sterling, read the lyrics. Throw it out independent, meet all of my dependents. Hey, don't need awards, thought I'd see the prize. Prove my work to all, show my full demise. Still keep the shit up and ain't making it fair, but hey, for my friends and my enemies, for my cousins in penitentiaries, a young and appreciated lending me centuries, and for the low motherfuckers lynching through centuries, I'm still a light that won't leave me. You wanna shrill, cause you still get a chill when you see me, but I'm a hurt me, now let's get over to them ass kissers, only can call haters, truly can say this cuz no they hate on self, won't be subject to change, went from dollars to change, hustle back to stacks, walk the road is the rain, feel me, let's be clear, when the chips off the talkers, swear softer and sweeter than chalk to eat players, dare a nigga whisper, cannot be here, hey, be there when you crumble, recollect the humble, resurrect from nothing, don't respect your frontin', laugh at competing, roast it for fools, kill them in metaphor, kill up this metaphor, I will stand the test, ace and don't cram, have nothing to learn, revisit the answers, stay immortal with standards, sitting here and standing, hey, all I want, for my friends and my enemies, for my cousins and penitents.
That was Jazzo, Be There. I want you to listen in every week to Hear No Evil as we promote Hip Hop Blues. Hip Hop Blues is the title of the episode, but I really got that from one of my poems that I wrote called Hip Hop Blues. Tune in every week on Thursday at 6:30 to listen to Hear No Evil. And we also would like to hear from you. You can email us at DarleneReneeLewis@yahoo.com. You can always call in the show, 347-989-0761, 347-989-0761. 989-0761. I have something that I'd like to read to you. I went over some of my emails, and someone sent me something about Tyler Perry, and I don't know whether this was sent as a promo, juice for promo because of the movie Precious. But it seems like filmmaker Tyler Perry, who is promoting a new movie about an abused teenager, has gone public with brutal memories of his own childhood beatings and molestation. In an email to fans that has Perry's admirers buzzing, he recounts various examples of terrible childhood mistreatment, from his father beating him senseless to a neighbor woman molesting him at age 10. Even his grandmother, the mother of his hated father, became a threat when she objected to his weekly allergy shot, he recalls. Ain't nothing wrong with that damn boy. He just got germs on him. Stop wasting all that money, she said, he recalled. She came and got me out of the living room, leaving my Matchbox cars on the floor. She said she was going to kill these germs on me once and for all. She gave me a bath in ammonia. Perry, 38, fled his abusive home in New Orleans and, after a period of homelessness and struggle, became a writer, director, actor, and producer. He is now a mega millionaire and one of the world's most influential black filmmakers. He is the producer of Tyler Perry's House of Pain on TV and his movies, including Diary of a Mad Black Woman, Madea's Family Reunion, and I Can Do Bad All By Myself, have grossed $400 million. Along with Oprah Winfrey, he executive produced Precious, the story of an illiterate, obese teen mom struggling to rise above horrible sexual and mental abuse. The movie opens nationally November 6. Perry has made no secret of his unhappy childhood and speaks often of his abusive father, but the raw details in his email were new revelations. He says, I'm tired of holding this in. I don't know what to do with it anymore, so I've decided to give away some of it, he wrote in Saturday's email, which was also posted on his website. Now, he recounted being beaten by his father for reading books and filching cookies. He got the vacuum cleaner extension cord and trapped him in a room and beat him until the skin was rolled off his back. To this day, Perry says he doesn't know what would make a person do something like that to a child. Without elaborating on what seems to be another molestation incident, he mentioned a man that I knew from church when I was a kid who had died broke and whose family asked Perry to pay for the funeral. I quickly said no, Perry said, but I wish I would have said yes. There is something so powerful to me in burying the man that molested me, Perry wrote. I would have dug the grave myself. Perry said God sustained him and provided comfort in his darkest times. Terry Williams, author of Black Pain, It Just Looks Like We're Not Hurting, praised Perry for sharing his old misery. When someone like Tyler Perry posts this kind of personal message, it helps to free others, Williams said. People are suffering unspeakable, horrific horrors, and they live with those secrets that tear them up inside, she said. There are countless numbers of people who have been violated and haven't addressed their pain. And that leads to depression or self-medicating, drinking, drug abuse, compulsive shopping, when you don't have any money, or eating disorders. Share your story to liberate yourself and get help. That's my recommendation, and that's what I think all people should try and do. I just want to tell you that we here at Hear No Evil welcome all of your suggestions. Feel free to call in 347-989-0761. See me this weekend at Jacob Javits, booth 230. I will be with Miss Anita promoting the Passion Toys and Games. And tune in every Wednesday at 6:30 on MNN.org to see my television show, Celebrity Showcase, which airs on Channel 56, Time Warner, and Channel RCN, Channel 83. Thank you so much for Hear No Evil, and I love, and I leave you with Freeze.
I make it high, yeah. I make it high, yeah. I make it high, yeah. Hop popped out the whip with my wrist on. Kick so clean, take a flick like everybody say cheese. I ain't here, say please. When my team hit the scene, everybody straight. Is it because of the fact that we make cheese? And my shorties resembling A-Keys. When Harley believes she's 18. But everything ain't always what it seems. In VIP, we be letting the mo' pop. Youngest on the dance floor doing it so wop. Let me see you get your life beat going. Getting kinda hot, now my wife beat is showing. Never stop, cause the night keeps going. Going, 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 going. Hey, baby girl, what's going on? Low riders on and it's showing her thong. Do the dance if you know this song.
Ladies, something like that.
We was broke for a minute, now I'm back with a jump off. To get it jumped off, make the party jump off. Girls looking at me like they wanna jump off. Shorty grabbing on my hand, I ain't a jump off. Nah, I make it do what you do. I could do the LB before we get to my loop. Take it back, 9-7, now I'm doing the main swing. Watch me two steps to the way that the bass bang. A whole world, we don't lean and rock with it. Fresh white up, watch me lean, I hop with it. Hands on my knees, I can freeze and pop with it. Please believe I get cheese, I'm not kidding. Never in a club, cause I'm only 16. Hit a house party so fresh and so clean. Me, Lindsay, and the rest of my team. BL2, I swag so mean.
Hola,
Puerto Rico, me encanta, Nueva York, yo me aguanta, fuma ese planta, planta verde, pecho duele, dice nene, dale pene, a ese mujer.